Homajnanatimadannasyajnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmuditam dhena tasmai shri gurave namah.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasatim vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15. Description of mystic yoga perfections. Today we'll be reading text number 25, which has no purport, and then 26 with purport. Text 25. Viharishan shura kride matstam sattvam vibhav vajet vayet Vimanino patishtanti sattva vritti sura striyaha. The yogi who desires to enjoy in the pleasure gardens of the demigods should meditate on the purified mode of goodness which is situated within me. And then the heavenly women generated from the mode of goodness will approach him in airplanes. Text number 26. Yata sankalpayed buddhya yadava matpara puman mai satye mano yunjams tata tat samupashnute yata sankalpayed buddhya Yadava matpara puman mai satye mano yunjams mai satye mano yunjams tata tat samupashnute yata sankalpayed buddhya Yadava matpara puman mai satye mano yunjams tata tat samupashnute yata by which means sankalpayet one may determine or resolve buddhya by the mind yada when va or matpara having faith in me puman the yogi mayi in me satye whose desire always becomes truth maha the mind yunjan absorbing tata by that means tat that very purpose samupashnute he obtains maha yunjan is that in the word for word do you have there in the Veda base Yeah, it's a misprint here. This is misprints. I said maha, the mind, but it's actually mana. Okay. Things, when you're printing books, can get mixed up. So there's a constant endeavor to make sure they're correct. The Vedabase has a more updated version. Translation, a yogi who has faith in me, absorbing his mind in me, and knowing that my purpose is always fulfilled, will always achieve his purpose by the very means he has determined to follow. Please repeat. A yogi who has faith in me, absorbing his mind in me, and knowing that my purpose is always fulfilled, will always achieve his purpose by the very means he has determined to follow. Purport. In this verse, the word yada, whenever, indicates that by the mystic power called Yata Sankalpa Sansiti, one will achieve one's objective, even if one pursues it at an inauspicious time. Lord Krishna is called Satya Sankalpa, or he whose desire, intention, purpose, or resolve always comes to pass. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that one should determine to revive one's lost relationship with the Supreme Lord, Krishna, through the infallible means of devotional service, which can be executed at any time or in any place. There are many books giving proper guidance for achieving Lord Krishna, and the following are mentioned. Srila Jiva Goswami's Sankalpa Kalpa Vriksha, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj's Sri Govinda Lilamrita, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita, and Sankalpa Kalpadruma by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, and Sankalpa Kalpadruma, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sri Gauranga Smarana Mangala. In the modern age, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has given us over 60 large volumes of transcendental literature, which can fix us firmly on the path back home, back to Godhead. Our sankalpa, or determination, should be practical and not useless. We should resolve to make a permanent solution to the problems of life by going back home, back to Godhead. It's an honor and a pleasure to be in this secret place you have here. People are riding back and forth on the subway. First the laborers go, and then the white-collar workers go for their white-collar crime. And then people rush back and forth, but they don't know that you're in here chanting and dancing in ecstasy early in the morning. It's secret, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, but we're trying to tell everybody. Not that they listen always. This verse today is extremely enlivening. And it's funny that we landed on this verse because I've actually been mentioning this verse in other classes just in passing. Because when I read the 11th canto recently and was considering the various kinds of mystic powers and how they're attained. And Krishna's describing this to Uddhava in the 11th canto where we are now. He talks about the way in which mystic yogis focus their minds on so many different material elements in order to attain the quality of those elements. That's how it's done, actually. There's a subtle cause to everything, and all the material elements arise from a reservoir of subtlety, as is described in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. The various levels of the universe are the subtle elements, not the gross elements of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, which are the various coverings of the universe, each one 10 times thicker than the next. And the yogis who learn this trick, it's kind of high technology, of being able to focus their consciousness on a particular element, are able to assume the qualities of that element, and then are able to do things that are apparently amazing. However, when we come to this verse, we find that when one meditates on Krishna, or rather, in this verse, it's very specifically said, we fix our determination on fulfilling the desire of Krishna and of serving Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, then we take on the similar quality that Krishna has, which is Satya Sankalpa. That is, that Krishna's will is always carried out. He never fails. So those who attach themselves to Krishna, which is the best idea, and which is the idea given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as the supreme yoga, he says that the yogi who always thinks of me in loving service is the highest yogi of all. There is no other yogi higher than this. Find that his or her ultimate purpose in life is fulfilled. So, the previous verse, 25, is describing someone who's meditating on something inferior. And there's an amazing way in which one attracts the particular entities and energy that one's meditating upon. And in the case of text 25, the yogi who desires to enjoy pleasure gardens of the demigods. We don't meet many people in London that are thinking of going to the pleasure gardens of the demigods. They're in fact settling for much a lower level of material happiness. Of course, as far as we're concerned, there is no lower and higher. Material happiness, ultimately, it's all insignificant, and nacharpitam karma yadapyakaranam, Narada Muni says it's a useless waste of time because it's temporary. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, yehi samsparshacha bhoga dukhayo naye evate adyanta vanta kontiya nateshu ramate buddha. A person who's intelligent, buddha, does not pursue these kinds of happiness. And then today's verse, in which yada, by which means sankalpa yet, one may determine or resolve buddhya, the mind. A yogi who has faith in me, absorbing his mind and knowledge, and knowing that my purpose is always fulfilled, will always achieve his purpose by the very means he has determined to follow. So this is called the power of yata sankalpa samsiddhi. And very particularly a mention here in the first line of the purport is that yata sankalpa samsiddhi means one will achieve one's objective even if one pursues it at an inauspicious time. This is mentioned by Krishna also in the end of the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He goes through a series of ways in which one might leave the world. Actually, he mentions two. Shukla Krishna Gati Hete. No, this is Agnir Jyotir Hashukla Shanmasha Uttarayanam. There's an astrological way in which yogis sometimes calculate when to leave the world. So it says Shukla Krishna Jyotir Ha Krishna Shanmasha, in the 6 months, Uttarayanam, in the light part of the 6 months, 6 months when there's light, if one leaves this world, tata prayata gachanti brahma brahma vidojana, then one can attain liberation. And then he says in the next verse that dumo ratristata krishna shanmasha dakshinayanam, the dark part, the dark 6 months, dakshinayanam, tatra prayata, and then he says, tatra chandramasam jyotir yogi prapya nivartate. Then one goes to the moon and then he comes back. So these are very specific calculations which yogis make, and Krishna in the Gita, in these two verses, is summarizing them. He's just giving a summary because the chapter really is about attaining the Supreme. He's talking about how we're carried by our consciousness from one life to the next, and then how some yogis deliberately try to leave the world at a very specific time, because they've developed that power to be able to determine when they'll leave their body. And then, in the next verse, Shukle Krishnikata ye te jagata shashvate mate ekaya yatyanavritim anyaya vartate punaha. So then Krishna summarizes, he says, Shukla Krishna, there's two ways to leave the world. Shukla Krishna, in light or in darkness. Kati heite, jagata shashvate mate. So he says that these are the two ways to leave the world, summarizing the fact that there's specific ways to leave in order to attain liberation or not. And then he says that devotees know these two paths. They're aware of them. They're aware of the different times in which one may deliberately leave one's body. Naite suti partajanam yogi muhti kashchana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto pavarjana. So then he says, so the devotees know these two paths, but they don't bother about them. He says it doesn't matter to the devotees, because he says the yogis' main, the devotees' concern is yoga yukto, to stay absorbed in Krishna consciousness constantly. And that's their only business. You don't have to worry about specifically leaving at a particular time or avoiding a particular time. You can leave at any time. And you'll be successful because Krishna is the one who's backing the devotees. We find this in the Sri Shapanishad, 17th verse, in which the devotee is praying to Krishna that let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you're the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. So in this verse, Prabhupada starts the purport by saying, the devotee doesn't have to remind Krishna all he's done. Krishna knows everything that the devotees do. He knows everything anyway, and he knows what everyone does. But he's especially attentive when devotees do devotional service to please him, even if it's something small. As he says in the... What's that verse? How does it start? I'm sorry, 17, yeah. He says in the 40th verse of the second chapter of the Gita, Neha bikramanashosti pratyavayo navidite swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatopaya. That even if you do a little bit in devotional service, this Prabhupada summarizes this verse by saying that this is recorded. Everything's recorded. Even the smallest act of devotional service goes into the account of the devotee and never goes in vain. That's the spirit of the verse, Neha bikramanashosti. And so then, finally, in the 8th chapter of the Gita, Krishna gives you a blanket insurance policy. Would you like that? Say yes. Yeah. Vedeshu yadeshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yapunya palam pratishtam atyeti tatsarvam idam vaditva yogi param stanam upaiti chavyam. Here he's mentioning all the other kinds of things you can do in your life to try to get ahead. So he says, giving charity, doing austerities, studying all the Vedas, all these things. He's mentioning a long list. What is it?
Chapter 17 of Ishopanishad.
Yeah.
Let this temporary...
No, the Sanskrit.
The Sanskrit. Vayu
Anilamamrita. Yeah, Vayu Anilamamrita. Jai Shishi. Radhika Kumananda Ji Ki Jai. Jai Shri Nandanishwara Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. Jagannath Baladev Subhaji. Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So, at the last verse, Vedeshu Yagdeshu, you can read the Vedas. Have all of you read all the Vedas? Okay, Yagdeshu. Performing yagyas, big yagyas. Tapasu, have you, tapasya, chaiva. Doing pious work. There's all this long list he gives. He said, but the devotees... they don't miss any of the results of these things because they're performing devotional service. Daneshu yapunya palam pratishtam at yeti tat sarvam idam baditva yogi param stanam paiti chani. He calls the devotee yogi param, the highest yogi, which is mentioned earlier in the 6th chapter of the Gita. Highest yogi is the devotee. So by performing devotional service, you're not bereft of the results of all of the above mentioned items, Krishna says. He guarantees that. So the devotees, understanding this quality of Krishna, that just by meditating on him and doing devotional service for him, they're not obligated to anything else, to any other process, nor do they have any debts in this world, which is mentioned, Devarshi bhutatman rinam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam rini charajan sarvatmaraya sharanam sharanyam gotomukundam prihritakartam. In the 11th canto also. It's mentioned that everyone's born with some debt to pay off. That's why when you're born, your parents have a college fund ready for you because they know you grow up fast, you're going to work soon, son, to pay off all your debts. You have debts to the demigods, to the rishis, to the ordinary living entities, to your forefathers. It's a pile of debt waiting for you when you're born. A little baby comes out and goes, you owe a lot. You got to get working soon, son. And then the verse goes on to say, but somebody who surrenders to Mukunda, they give their life. They said, okay, enough with this other stuff. I'm just going to surrender to Krishna. Then they no longer arini, a debtor. He becomes free from all debts, no more obligations. Simply worship Krishna. Now, Krishna's proved in the end of the 8th chapter that devotees don't consider what's an auspicious or inauspicious time to do certain things like leave their body. Furthermore, we find in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that the first two vilases in the Hari Bhakti Vilas are specifically about the guru-disciple relationship. And in one of them, it's a mention of initiation. All the times that you're supposed to hold initiation and the times you're not supposed to hold it. So it goes on and on, verse after verse, mentioning all the times that you should triangulate for and try to make it on those times, times you should definitely avoid. And at the very end, it says, whatever time the guru says, that's the best time. And all the other things don't matter. This is also the overall mood for the practice of bhakti. If you're serving Krishna, all other kinds of rituals and considerations are not so important. In fact, we all remember having read Prabhupada's purport of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Prabhupada says that during the installation ceremony of Krishna Balaram, 1975, we were having, Prabhupada invited all the local Brahmins to come to install the deities. They went on for 3 days with their very detailed rituals. And then Prabhupada asked all of us, the European and American Asian devotees, to have kirtan constantly. So we did that. And afterwards, Prabhupada wrote in his purport, we didn't need the brahmanas. We needed only the kirtan. He said, the only reason I invited the brahmins is because the locals wouldn't have considered a bona fide installation. They wouldn't have appreciated it at all. So we just, you know, he added that on. But if you see Prabhupada's face as all these rituals go on and on and on and on, he doesn't look too impressed. But he was impressed with the kirtan going on, the Germans, the English, the Americans, all jumping up and down, and that's the thing. In fact, Jiva Goswami mentions, in relationship to deity worship, and then he extends that to say, any ritual we do in devotional service must be preceded and followed by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. That's in our padati, and worship of the Lord. You have to chant Hare Krishna first, chant Hare Krishna at the end, do the best you can in the middle. It's Kali Yuga. Of course, we're attentive to the details that we do have. It's not that we're scofflaws or something like that. We're very careful to please Krishna in the ways that he's asked us to. But Kali Yuga has its setbacks and shortcomings. So, obviously, in the Bhagavatam conclusion, 12th canto, at the end, we hear that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. And so the author then says, but there's one good quality, just by chanting Hare Krishna. You can overcome the entire material world and go back to Godhead. So the will of Krishna is always done. This is a fact. There is a God and I'm not him. My will is not always done. It's never done. Whatever I desire in my puny little life to attain is thwarted at every minute. And in the Gita, Krishna says, Mogasha moga karmano moga jnana vichetasa rakshasima surim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha. If you have a demoniac mentality and you think you're the one doing everything and you're going to get things done, he says, Mogasha, you'll be baffled. Mogasha, moga karmano, if you're doing fruit of activities, they'll be baffled. Moga jnana, if you're doing intellectual activities, they'll be baffled. Vichetasa rakshasim, he says, this is a demoniac mentality, to think that I'll do something separate from taking shelter of Krishna. So he says the devotees are different. They take shelter of the internal potency of the Lord, and therefore they're able to do wonderful things. As is mentioned in this verse, it's a kind of mystic power. You align yourself with Krishna, and everything good is done. So there's a story in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam about, which is very specific and comes to the conclusion that how Krishna's will is always done. It's a verse glorifying the power of Lord Krishna over everyone else, and in this particular story I'm about to narrate, over the power of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is famous as having vanquished the three cities created by Maya Danava. Maya Danava was a great technologist. He knew how to make wonderful creations out of the material energy. And the demons once had him build these three cities in the air. And from that vantage point, the demons began fighting the demigods. They remembered their original enmity and they started fighting again. And Lord Shiva came out on behalf of the demigods and he vanquished those three cities in the air. But then Maya Danava came and he arranged a kind of technology so that they not only could those three cities in the air be invisible, but he also created a reservoir of nectar. And he threw all the dead demons in that nectar pool, and they all came back to life again. Not only that, anytime they were killed, he could just throw them in there and they'd come back to life. So now the demons had a definite advantage. And they started fighting with greater vigor, and they were now defeating Lord Shiva and the demigods. So Lord Vishnu appeared, along with Lord Brahma. Brahma came as a calf, and Lord Vishnu came as a cow. And they walked into the creation of Maya Danava, where this pool of nectar was, and they began drinking from it. And Maya Danava and all the demons were watching, but they couldn't do anything. They were held at abeyance. And Maya Danava said that whatever has been destined for oneself or others, or for both oneself and others, cannot be undone by anyone, whether one be a demigod, a demon, a human being, or anyone else. This is a beautiful verse, which kind of covers the gamut that there's nobody, no demigod, human being, ourselves, our own endeavors, can overcome what has been destined by the Supreme Personality of God, Dishtam. So he makes his determination and it will come to pass. So an intelligent person then will come to the point after many, many lifetimes, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavam Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabaha, that let me align myself with the will of Vasudeva. So anyone can do this. This is a mystic power that anyone can attain from their living room. You just pick up the Bhagavad Gita and read what Krishna says, surrender to me. And what Lord Chaitanya says, just align yourself with the Sankirtan movement. In essence, that's a practical extension of Krishna's edict in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you surrender unto me, I will protect you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a very practical way, says, just align yourself with the Sankirtan movement. Become an agent for spreading this Yuga Dharma. And that's the way of surrender. And if you align yourself with that, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, that's a manifestation. When I say that, also in this verse, it says tut. Tut means that. And it's referring back to the will of the Lord. If you find out what the will of the Lord is, and then you align yourself with that, you will attain the mystic perfection called Yata Sankalpa Siddhi, which means that all that you do will become successful. So that's the secret to life. Find out what the will of the Lord is, and then mold your will to be in harmony with the will of the Lord. And Prabhupada mentions in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in his purport to the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, that the direct instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of his internal potency. And it is by that potency that one comes to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead and meet him face to face. So This potency, Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the context of the meeting of Pratapuruja Maharaj and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, works automatically. It's there, and we don't need to wait for permission. We can simply immediately amend our particular determination in life, in our sankalpa. That's like, what's my purpose in life? To be in harmony with the Lord's will, and it will automatically act in our life, because it is something that Krishna extends to all living entities. And this you can see in the Prabhupada's purport. When Maharaj Pratapuruja went to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the direction of the devotees, he dressed like a Vaishnav. He went into the Jagannath Ballabh Gardens, and he began to massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, and then he recited verses from the Gopi Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced him, said, "You've given me so much." And the author there says, Mahaprabhu didn't consider even who he was. He said he doesn't even know who he was. Of course he knew who he was, but externally, Mahaprabhu said, I don't care who it is. They're doing this kind of service, and therefore his mercy, Prabhupada writes, acts automatically. Of course, one other point is that Maharaj Pratapuruja had aligned himself with, after deliberation, he very purposely aligned himself with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by going out and sweeping in front of the Jagannath Rathyatra carts. And this, says the author, made him, made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favorable towards him. So when he came to that garden, he was ready to embrace Maharaj Pratapuruja. So one can prepare oneself for taking the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those are a few thoughts about this verse, and now we'll take a few reflections. Anything that you heard from the verse itself, purport, or the monologue so far that's stuck in your mind that you feel were either helpful to you, noteworthy, or that it's the one point that you would pass on to somebody else if they asked you what this class was about. Reflect back. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, festival.
Hare Krishna. Is there a second microphone? Here it comes. But I'll repeat what you're saying until that time.
How do we align ourselves with the mood of Vasudev? Practically.
How do we practically align ourselves with the mood of Vasudev?
That we should say, or is there some action? Is there some kind of, you know?
Well, Ramchandra, and you know this verse from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Ramchandra, Mahaprabhu quoted this verse to Sanatana Goswami, Sakradeva Prapanoyas. This is a verse that comes in the Ramayana, and it's when Bibhishana came to surrender to Lord Ram, you know this very momentous section of the Ramayana, when Bibhishana, he's Ravana's brother, he leaves the association of his brother, which is a big deal, and he went there to join Lord Ram. He had too much, seen too much. He tried to advise his brother just insulted him. So he left, and he came to join the Ramchandra and surrendered to him. He was hovering in the sky, and there was a debate going on amongst the associates of Lord Ramchandra whether to accept him or not. And then when it came to the Ram's decision, he said, if somebody surrenders to me or says they surrender to me even one time, then from that time forward I accept that person and I will always protect them. So he says, Sakrit, even one time, if someone makes this declaration, I surrender to Lord Ram. That's it. He accepts you. So if you think about it, we're little units of will. That's what we have, really, is our willpower. And you may think, oh, it's hidden, or it's something that is so subtle, it doesn't really make a difference. It makes all the difference. It is the difference. And Prabhupada mentions in his commentary in Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, about when his spiritual master was spreading the Sankirtan movement. He said he sent a delegation of his followers, his disciples, to Britain. And they weren't successful. They came back a few years later after having spent an incredible amount of money And it seemed as if, to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that they were getting more affected by Britain than Britain was by them. And so he called them back. Of course, there was some fanfare when they came back, but Srila Prabhupada especially mentions that his guru wasn't pleased with their work. And then he goes on to say something very profound, and that is, so the reason they weren't successful is because in their minds, they hadn't determined that they were going to do this. They didn't actually want to do it. He says that they were thinking of something else. Their sankalpa, their determination was, we'll go there, we'll get some fame, and we'll come back, and we'll use that. That was Prabhupada's observation, which is profound, because if one changes one's determination, which requires a little bit of introspection, you can find that, especially I find, at least while chanting japa, there's a great search for where that one molecule of sincerity might lie within the salt mine of my heart. There's one speck of sincerity. And if I can mine through all the other noise and interference and find that one molecule of sincerity and bring it out as an offering, it's like a gem, it's a great gem piled in salt. And if I can find that one gem and bring it out and offer it while I'm chanting, say, Krishna, I think I'm sincere. I hope I am. Could I be sincere? Is this real? You know, you bring it out and show it to Krishna and say, this is all I have. And that's all we do have. And that's really the essence of devotional service, is finding that in ourselves and bringing it out and offering it to Krishna. If that's there, then everything else is possible. Krishna does everything else for us. He gives us the intelligence how to come to Him. If we have that one gem of, even tiny gem of sincerity that we can put in our hand and hold on to tightly and offer regularly to Krishna, this is what I have to offer, then He provides all the other energies to assist us in advancing a devotional service. So yes, it is deliberate. It's something that we have to look for, like miners. We have to, like when you pan for gold, you know how to pan for gold? You've done it here in Britain? I've come from California with a gold rush. I learned this as a kid. We even went on a field trip. You take a pan, it's a special kind of pan, you keep dunking it in the water. Of course, this is the hard way. Nowadays, they just blow up the mountain. But back in the old days, they take a little pan and they put it in the stream and they keep shaking it around like that. And you know, every once in a while, somebody would find a gold nugget, sometimes a big one, and then they'd find a few more. And so, but they, you know, some people, they'd search for days, weeks, months, you know, before they'd find something. So we have to do that too. Take the contents of our heart, put it in a pan with some water, and is it in there? You look and find it and try to offer it to Krishna. And so, yes, we can deliberately change our sankalpa. That's really what humans are meant for. We can become aware of our existential situation. Animals can't, say the Vedas. They just do what they do. But they're present, but they're not aware that they're present. They're just moving about by the force of material nature. But when we come to this juncture of human form of life, we can have clarity. And we arrange our whole lives in order to have that 1 minute of clarity. Hopefully more. But Bhagavatam says, better that, 1 moment of that clarity where I'm offering that sincere intention to Krishna, than a whole lifetime of strum and drum. I'm just rushing about from here to there. I never think about it. And it's possible. Can you spend 1 day without searching for your intention and offering to Krishna? One whole day. How about a week? How about a month? How about a year? How about 10 years? How about a lifetime? Yep. I go through one lifetime with never actually looking for that sincerity within my heart and start over again. Human life is meant for that, and Krishna gives us unlimited chances. Unlike
Abrahamic religions would say, you get one chance to find it, otherwise you're finished. But our Bhagavatam says, you know, unlimited chances Krishna's giving. So thank you for that question. It's really important. And it's really the essence of the way we practice is fixing our sankalpa. In fact, this is what you'll find in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that one must fix one's sankalpa before chanting. You fix your vow. Some nice verses like that in the beginning of the... And you'll find that as Gopakumar becomes more and more aware of his own sincerity, then the mantra becomes more and more effective. It requires also getting sambandha jnana. It means we have to be getting constant instruction about the mantra, what it is, and what our relationship is with Krishna. Then we can realize what we're actually doing. It's quite startling when we actually realize what we're doing. You're sitting here chanting Hare Krishna for years, and in one moment you might realize, oh my God, I'm chanting God's names. It's a stark realization. It's all this time I've actually been saying the name of the Supreme, and you know, he's non-different. You know, that's a moment of clarity. If we can have that, then we, you know, our whole life changes in a moment, in 1 second, having that lucid feeling that I'm actually chanting God's name, and I want to. Or if you have this idea, I want to surrender. If you can image that in your mind and feel it in your heart, you're chanting and you're saying, Krishna said surrender, I actually want to do this. Then he just pours in unlimited facility into your life to do that. Because it's sweet surrender. It's actually what he's trying to help us to do that at every moment. But because I'm distracted, I think that resisting is a better idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu. It's an Olympic sport.
Thank you. You could say, is that the will of Krishna to regain all the conditioned souls back to him?
Yes, you could say that.
If we work for that purpose to help others to regain, we are kind of working on the will.
Yes, you could definitely say that. You could support it also through Shastra. I mean, first of all, you'd start at the end of the 18th chapter of the Gita when Krishna says, there's nobody more dear to me than the person who's teaching the message of Bhagavad Gita to others. And then throughout the Bhagavatam, there are unlimited verses which mention this compassion. In fact, the difference between a neophyte devotee, which is called a Prakriti Bhakta, which is, it's just a courtesy label. Like, you're a bhakta, but not really. Prakriti bhakta means you're materialistic. Devotees aren't materialistic. This is prakriti bhakta. He's mentioned in acharyameva hariye pujam yashariye hate natad bhakteshu chaneshu sabhakta prakriti smitaha. The introductory level of bhakta is called the prakriti bhakta, or the kanishta. And the kanishta's his nature is mentioned in the verse that natad bhakteshu cha anyeshu. He doesn't recognize devotees. He only sees Krishna, and he says, you know, I worship Krishna, the heck with everybody else, and or the devotees. He doesn't know how to worship and honor devotees, as the devotees are most dear to Krishna. And then cha anyeshu, and he also doesn't know how to do good for others. Therefore, he's inferior. And all the acharyas comment on this. It's a well commentated verse. In fact, Jiva Goswami says that a person who's doing devotional service but doesn't know how to do good for others is offering ghee onto ashes. That's the kind of yajna that he's doing. Krishna doesn't really appreciate it very much. And then he goes on to mention the Madhyama Adhikari. The Madhyama Adhikari is one who knows how to not only worship Krishna, but also make friendships. Ishvare tara dineshu bhalisheshu du satsucha prema maitri kupopaksha yakroti samadhyamaha. He worships Krishna, he makes friendships, appropriate friendships with the devotees. He pours in as much mercy as possible to the living entities. That's his preoccupation in life. Finding innocents, those who are bhalisheshu, those are innocent, and he gives as much mercy as possible. He's organizing his whole life around that. And for the envious, he avoids them. He doesn't engage with them. In fact, that's the scriptural injunction. So the difference between the lowest level and then the medium devotee, which is a very high level, the medium devotee, is one who knows how to do good for others. So many instructions were given about saving the conditioned souls, not the least of which comes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 7, and many other places. But there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lays out his manifesto. It's very clear that this is what I'm here to do, is save all the conditioned souls. And he says, I want all of you to help. In fact, I order all of you. And if you just pick up the order and do the best you can with that, trying to save conditioned souls. We have a saying back at our temple, I save one soul at a time, beginning with myself. Don't start getting condescending. Like, I'm going to save everybody. First, save yourself. And don't think everybody's below you. Now, you may be saving other people, but it's on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. That's a long discussion. We could go into that deeply. Yes.
Thank you very much. Very nice. Related to Sankirtan. Yeah?
You're from Bulgaria?
No, I'm from Montenegro originally.
From where?
Montenegro.
Montenegro.
That's quite...
Trying to identify the accent.
Okay. So, related to Sankirtan, for example, if you can help us with some advice, like, direct point is, Sankirtan is kind of highly esteemed activity in devotional service, like, Sankirtan devotees are really glorified, yeah? So, we are going out and distributing books, then it's this danger that we may become puffed up, but let's enjoy subtly, I'm distributing books, I'm preaching, this is like a big thing, and everyone wants to touch my feet, that's kind of brings that subtle enjoyment. How can we protect ourselves from this? Because this is very, it may be very dangerous, isn't it?
It's dangerous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chirnadapi sini chena, toror api sahishnina, amanina amanidena, kirtaniya sadahadi. Keep yourself, practice keeping yourself in a humble position and be ready to give all respect to others. Don't expect respect in return. Said if you do that, you can go on chanting, otherwise not. And if one becomes conceited or thinks that my service is better than others, it opens the door to Maya to come in. One trick is to live long enough. Because if you live long enough, you'll find out that you're being crushed by the wheel of time, and it'll make you a little humble. So just try to live. Stay alive for long enough to see. And also do devotional service while you're doing that. Because you'll find out soon enough that, infamy will come amidst... No matter how famous you are, especially nowadays, you can be really famous, everyone will put you up, and then half the population will shoot you down. Because, why does he get to be famous? You shouldn't be famous. Here's why. I got 50 reasons why this person shouldn't be famous. He's a rascal for these reasons. So, you're going to have to tolerate all these things. And, we should cultivate it ourselves, because it's reality. If you live outside of reality, you'll really get smashed down. But if you cultivate humility... And try to show respect to all living entities when you go out on Sankirtan and when you come back to the devotee community. Be very humble and meek and appreciate the devotees. Even the new devotees, they bring such an energy. One thing about Sankirtan, I'll tell you a story. When we were in North Carolina and we were taking devotees door to door, and it was our first monthly Sankirtan festival there, and which is still going on, 6 years later? Aditya Narayan Prabhu and Ratna Radhika, such a powerful team, husband and wife, leading that party there. Any community can do this. Decide we're going to all come together, the whole, not just a few people, but everybody. We're all going to come together. We're going to do Sankirtan. We don't care what anybody says. We're doing Sankirtan. And we go out together to do Harinam book distribution, prasadam distribution, to save and condition souls in the most orderly way that we can so that it can continue to expand. Long preamble to the story. We were out there in North Carolina, my wife and I, Neera Akula, who's sitting right here behind the camera. We were there, it was 108 degree weather. That means 40 something. And we were divided up into groups all over the city, and we're going door to door. So I had a group with me. I was showing them how to do door to door, which basically is knock on the door and wait for them to open it and present the book. But you know, it requires a little practice. What do I do when after I knock on the door? Chant, because you don't know what they're going to say when they open it. So we went up to this one door. I had 7 devotees with me, which is pretty normal for the training thing. So we knock on the door, and a nurse opened the door. She was a caretaker, and then followed by the person she was caretaking for. And it was a disabled man. And he could barely speak, and he had some kind of muscular problem. And I started explaining the book to the nurse, because I figured, well, maybe she, you know, knows how to communicate to him and stuff like that. Then I quickly saw that she was not interested at all. In fact, she was inimical, decidedly inimical, demonstratively inimical. But the young man suddenly jumped in that, no, no, I want this. I don't know why. You never know why these things happen, but, you know, he's like, I want this more than anything. He saw us, he saw the book, he recognized whatever it was, that this is good. And, you know, he said, no, I want... He wasn't able to speak, so he said, oh. And so, you know, he grabbed the book, and I said, okay. You know, I looked at the nurse, and I said, what can be done? And she said, no, 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 give it back. He wouldn't give it back. So I explained a little bit of what it was, and I figured I'd give him an equal opportunity as everybody else. So I said, you know, we don't sell the book. We only ask for donation. We don't need the money. But the reason we ask, when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations, allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. Nurse said, no way, go. He said, he turned around, body language, he went to go get money. Nurse went after him, door closed. We didn't know what was going to happen. Finally, door opened. Nurse with $10 in her hand said, here, take it, go. I said, wait, there's one more thing. She said, no way. And he said, no, 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 no. I said, do you believe in the power of prayer? He said, no, 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 no. I said, okay, I'm going to teach him a prayer. Nurse got exasperated and kind of stepped away a few feet. I showed him the mantra card. I said, please repeat after me, Hare Krishna. And he went, R-r-r-r. I said, Hare Krishna. He said, R-r-r-r. He was straining. Every sinew in his body was moving. You could see in his neck, trying to say the mantra. It was so intense. We went through the whole mantra. Finally, we gave him a lollipop prasadam. The door closed. I turned around, and there were tears coming from the eyes of the devotees. And I asked the devotee next to me, I said, why is everybody crying? And the devotee said, I wish I had as much desire to chant Hare Krishna as this person. I don't even have a fraction of that. And so when we go out on Sankirtan, we're there to learn. It's a high sadhana. It's not about getting some score. The scores will always go higher. Someone else will always do better than us. That's not the reason we go out. The reason we go out is for our own self-purification. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura said, in order to get chidrakta, spiritual blood, you have to nourish your chidsharira with this chidrakta. The chidsharira means your spiritual body, you get spiritual blood. How? By going out into the great unknown and teaching Krishna consciousness to those who oppose you, who argue with you, who give you problems. He said all these things actually nourish your spiritual body. And that's how you become strong. So the Sankirtan is something that is done by Paramahamsas, like Advaita Acharya. He's Mahavishnu. And he has more concern about all the living entities in the material world. But he comes down for this pastime to himself engage. He goes door to door. Hey, if Advaita Acharya is doing it, I want to do it too. Lord Nityananda does it, I'm doing it. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to knock on doors. And I'm going to, you know, wait till people come and just follow Lord Chaitanya's order. He said, Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shika. He told Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda, these are 3 things. You just teach these 3 things, forget everything else. Chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna, read the Bhagavad Gita, bas. People would invite Nityananda and Advaita in, come in, have prasadam. We said, nope, we just came here to give you these three things. That's what Mahaprabhu said. End of the day, they'd go back and report it all to Mahaprabhu. This is what happened. This is who said what. This is the nectar of the Sankirtan movement. It's going out to meet the conditioned souls, come what may. And when the friction comes, we know I'm getting spiritual blood outside my comfort zone. I took the risk. You deserve the glory. You take the risk. You walk beyond the threshold of the door. You deserve it. But don't think like that. Devotees will glorify you because you took a risk. It takes courage to do this, to spread the Sankirtan movement against all the odds of the material world. Everybody, you walk out the door immediately. Everyone's rushing from here to there, thinking they're going somewhere. And they don't really care what you have to offer immediately. It takes a lot of absorption to be able to do that. So you'll grow over a lifetime by doing this kind of service. And if you're able to stay humble, keep your head down, then you won't get it smacked. You won't get smacked upside the head as hard as you would if you become puffed up. Thank you very much for this opportunity to be here in this sacred place with all of you to discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam. What you're doing here is extraordinary. You're keeping the Sankirtan movement alive in the heart of perhaps the most strategically located city in the whole world, London, and you're right in the heart of it. So whatever capacity you're contributing to the Sankirtan movement, even just showing up here for darshan and chanting Hare Krishna, that's glorious. What to speak of everything you do after that is a lot extra. Gaur Premanande, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo.
Natchari Armarman, 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 Natchari Armarman.